1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I mentioned to the Sunday school class that my intention was to teach this in Sunday school and then the Sunday school message and the morning message. But the Lord kind of changed my thinking, my heart. We're going to begin here in the next week or two a series about the furtherance of the gospel on Sunday mornings. And this kind of ties in with that a little bit. So that's the reason why I believe it's supposed to be done here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's an interesting passage of scripture. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a church of Corinth. And this church of Corinth, it had some challenges. It had some issues. All churches do because they're made up of people. People have problems. People are not perfect. And because of that, there's some problems and issues that happen. And here, this church of Corinth was questioning the Apostle Paul's leadership, but also not his leadership, but his apostleship. And here in the story, here in the chapter, he begins to discuss something that's probably a little bit taboo. People don't really want to talk about it, or, you know, churches don't want to talk about it. It's about how the pastor or the preacher being taken care of financially, and how Paul is saying, look, I didn't ask for any of that. And his interest here is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look what it says in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 12. The Bible says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? And if you read verses 1 through 11, it talks about how they should take care of the pastor, take care of the preacher and those. But at the same time, he says, look, we've never asked that. And he uses this phrase, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And Paul is known for, as he's traveling, he was supported by churches. We saw him supported in different areas, especially while in prison. But here, many times he would become a tent maker on the side to be able to do the work that God had called him to do. And he was not trying to put something on the people. And he uses this phrase, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Verse number 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so, once again, there's nothing wrong with that. Most of you know, if you're here, you know that I work full time here. I tell people that you can't really pay a person to preach. What you do is you take care of their what they need in order they can focus on the gospel, focus on being full time. Because sometimes people work bivocationally, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, obviously, not only that, we have a staff of an assistant pastor, even a few secretaries, many volunteers that help do the things. But to accomplish everything we're accomplishing, we you know, once again, they help take care of the needs that we have. Paul here, and the different ministry that he has, he's here and he's saying, look, I could have asked for this. I could have expected this. Others have. Others do. Nothing wrong with that. But he was saying, I don't want anything at all to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ going out. Verse 15 says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For if it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Take your Bible and go down to verse number 22. And it says here, to the weak became I as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this message this morning that I believe you have on purpose for right now, for the people that are here, Lord, it will help. Lord, it would speak to each person's heart, that we see Paul's heart, probably one of the greatest soul winners of all time. His heart was, he wasn't going to let things hinder him. He wasn't going to let people glory in him. Instead, he did all this for the gospel's sake. And Lord, that we would understand the importance of the gospel, that we would see that, that we would embrace that, but also make the necessary commitments and even sacrifices in order to have the gospel further. Lord, help us to further the gospel. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we're going to be looking at some of the things in the book of the Acts and some of the New Testament, how the gospel furthered on here in the next upcoming months. And that's part of our theme for the furtherance of the gospel. This chapter is really great. If you would take time to read through the first 11, 12 verses, he's defending the fact he's an apostle. You know why? Because there's people out there that act fleshly. There's people that sometimes when they come to church, they're not interested in spiritual things. There are even people out there who just want to stir up trouble and stir up a mess. And you say, well, why would people do that? The devil's really good at what he does. I listened to Paul Harvey's little take that says, "If I Were the Devil," this past week. And if you want to listen to that, don't do it here in the church, obviously right now, because we don't need anything competing with my voice, but because my voice isn't that strong anyway. But it says, "If I Were the Devil," and one of the things they said, "If I Were the Devil, I'd do everything I call to cause divisiveness and between the families, divisiveness in the church." And boy, so many people have swallowed that hook, line, and sinker. They feel like it's their job to cause issues and problems, and they're not doing the work of God. And Paul is here. His heart is found is that he's doing all these things. The title of this morning's message is "This I Do for the Gospel's Sake." Probably one of the greatest soul winners of all time outside of Jesus Christ. And at least that we know of. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to get great rewards in heaven that we've never heard of because they're just went and did what God called them to do and served someplace that nobody's ever heard of, reaching people that they never heard of, just serving the Lord. So for the gospel's sake, this I do for the gospel's sake. And you have a paper there, I believe, that they passed out for you. There's seven different things I'd like for you to look at. Like I said, the intention was for Sunday school. Usually we don't do handouts on Sunday morning, but these are so good. I enjoyed them, and I thought that there's something I could reach out and give to you. And instead of reading the whole passage right now, we're just going to read it as the verses apply to it. The first thing I want you to see here, this I do for the gospel's sake. Number one is, I will not do something that might hinder the cause of Christ. I will not do something that might hinder the cause of Christ. We're not going to read verses 1 through 15, but we're going to look once again in verse number 12. He says, "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." He has made this decision. He says, look, I'm not going to do the things that I could do. I'm not going to take the rights that I have. I don't want to give anybody a reason. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause something that could hinder the cause of Christ. And so that's the question is, if we're interested in furthering the gospel, is there anything in our lives that we are doing today that is hindering the cause of Christ, that's hindering the furtherance of the gospel? And it's something look deep inside. Paul here said, hey, look, I didn't ask anything of you. I didn't take anything of you. Obviously, that's something I could have done. He says, I chose not to do that because I didn't want anything to be hindered here. And in verses 13 and 14, they kind of give a description of, you know, this is what happened back in the Old Testament times. These are reasons why if they preach the gospel, they should live with the gospel. But he used none of those things. So the question this morning is there something in your heart or in your life that is causing a hindrance to the spreading of the gospel? Is there something in your heart or your life that's causing a hindrance to the spreading of the gospel? To try to kind of set aside for a second, let's remember what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to die for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures to be able to pay our sin debt for us, and how a person can believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to the Lord and by faith, repenting of their sins, to be able to receive the gift of eternal life. That's the importance, is that in this world today, there is one or two people. And you say, well, yeah, there's this or that. No, what it really all boils down to, there are people that are saved and there are people that are lost. There are people that are headed to heaven and then there's people that are headed to hell. And the only thing that can take a person off the road to hell is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And because it's what he did on that cross, it's important. And Paul's life was consumed with this. And it's something that God's given all of us a responsibility to go out for the gospel's sake, to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel to every creature. He's given us that. And here's the question. I don't want to do something that might hinder the cause of Christ. Is there something in your heart or life today that's hindering the cause of Christ? You say, well, Pastor, what in the world would I do? I wouldn't on purpose hinder the cause of Christ. Well, are you doing anything to reach out the cause of Christ? I mean, has there in this past week, in the last 7 days, has there been one thing that you've done to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? We've been given a command. We've been given the commission. Now, sometimes people's hearts and sometimes people's attitudes and sometimes people, the way that they interact, and sometimes based off their testimony, when you don't live for God and you claim to be a Christian, these are all things that could hinder the cause of Christ. When you have dissension, you have bickering, and you have all types of different things that can cause a hindrance for the cause of Christ. And we're not going to go into any of the points because there's seven of them that long. But Paul is saying here that I am taking a step above. I'm going the road ahead. I'm doing something that I don't even have to do. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I don't want to do anything that could hinder the cause of Christ. Today, we truly want Faith Baptist Church to be a place that the gospel of Jesus Christ is taken from this place out into our community, out not only into our community, but outlying communities, out to our country, to all throughout the world. But is there something in my heart or life that is hindering me of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? The second thing I want you to see here, and is I think it's interesting. Actually, let's finish verse 15 real quick. He says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done so unto me. Now look at this. He says, for it would be better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. He said, I would rather die than have someone, take my boasting or take my preaching or take the things void. He says, it's not even worth for me to live. Can you imagine that? He says, because of someone else, he says, if it'd be better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. So don't do anything that's going to hinder the gospel. Don't do anything in your own heart, in your own life, that's going to hinder the perpetuation of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel. And he says, look, I don't want anything to hinder me. And he took it this seriously. It would be better for me to die than to allow this to happen. So I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to live a life that could show and give people excuse, give reason to people to talk. Now, did people talk? They did. Did people make complaints about Paul? They sure did. But he did everything he could so he could take the gospel. The second thing I want you to see is I will labor not for my glory, but for the Lord. Look what it says in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Second thing I want you to think about is Paul is not glorying in himself. Paul is glorying in the Lord. Paul is glorying in what God has done. And it's amazing. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. And now, once again, at this point in time, Paul has already started many ministries. Paul is already known for doing many great things. And if anybody could be lifted up, if anybody could say, hey, I think you should give me an offering. If anybody could say, hey, I think you should write my name, or my name should be put on a building, or my name should be put for a book of the Bible. Paul could do those things. He says, but no, he says, my interest is this I do for the gospel's sake. Because I want to do this for the gospel's sake, I'm not going to glory in myself. I'm not going to have pride in myself. I'm not going to take myself and have myself be lifted up. He says, yes, I'm going to labor. Yes, I'm not going to use it as an excuse that I'm not going to do anything. He says, yes, for though I preach the gospel, meaning he's going to do it. But also he says that for necessity is laid upon me. It was a necessity to me, a necessity to him. He realized this is something that was not a hit or miss thing. This was not something that was, hey, here's a choice. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Instead, what is he saying? I'm going to preach, but I'm not going to use it to bring glory to me. I'm going to lift up Jesus, but I'm not going to do anything that's going to call people and say, hey, there's that Paul. And even at different times in the story, days. The Bible talks about how they saw Paul do a miracle and they tried to worship Paul. And Paul's like, no, I don't want anything to do that. I don't want to be glorified at all. This is all about Jesus. And sometimes we must realize that he is who we must lift up. If he is lifted up, he's going to draw all men unto himself. And that we must get this and understand this. This is not for us. This is not for our glory. It's not for us to make ourselves look good. It is for the necessity of the gospel, that for this I do for the gospel's sake. And what is that? I'm not going to glory in myself. I'll be humble. Next thing I want you to think about is, I will keep a willing heart as I preach the gospel. Look what it says in verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Let's think about these words again. For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, here's the thing here. He says, I will keep a willing heart as I preach the gospel. You say, well, isn't that the chase? Isn't that the only reason why someone would get the gospel? I tell you, the reality is, I grew up in churches like this all my life. And it's like you got to convince people to give the gospel. The reality is, most people are uncomfortable with spreading the gospel. Why? It's the devil fights it, yes. We like to say it's because of someone else, because of fear of this or fear of that. But the reality is, what did we do in the last week, the last month to further the gospel? And if we did we do it because we did it willingly? Of a heart that just says, I want to spread the gospel. This is something God's put upon my heart. This is something God's put upon my mind. I remember sometimes even being part of church back. Hey, if you want to go and do this, you have to be part of visitation. Or if you want to go on a missions trip, you got to do this. And, you know, there were certain requirements. I don't think there's anything wrong with leadership standards or leadership requirements. Our church has some. But it should not have to be that someone is forcing you to spread the gospel or forcing you to give out a gospel tract. It's something that should be a willing thing. It's not just showing up to save face or for a testimony's sake. It's because of the fact I love the Lord and I love his word. And because of that, I want to be willing to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Chronicles 29:9 put it this way. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willing to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And it's talking about there was a time when there was offering that was needed, and they opened up the opportunity for people gave, and they gave willingly. And what a beautiful picture. And sometimes I think about that when it's offering. We don't talk a lot about money. We talk about money when it comes up in the Bible, because that's what we're supposed to do, is preach the Bible. But it's, God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't like the grudging heart. Well, man, I'm going to give because I have to. That's not the point. That's not it. You know, it's not. God's given us commandments. He's given us guidelines to live by. And I tell you, if we would just say, God, give me a willing heart. Lord, give me a willing heart to want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how to do it. I want to learn. But God, I love people. I love you. I want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ get spread forth. You know what? God's going to answer a prayer like that. If you would say, hey, God, would you give me a heart to want to reach people for Jesus Christ? God, my heart's a little bit cold. It's a little bit hard. I don't really see the need. It's not. Ask the Lord and say, God, make me willing. Make me willing. Think about this. Say, Lord, I might not be willing right now. And right now, it's not the right. Make me willing, Lord. And that's what Paul here says. This I do for the gospel's sake. He doesn't want to be a hindrance. He doesn't want to glory. He does it from a willing heart. Look what it says in verse 18. For what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Paul is saying here, he says, I will not abuse my privileges that I might be used of God. I might be used of God. I don't know, did I spell the word that wrong on your paper too? Oh, good. Then it's not right on my paper. I have a little bit more paper there, so sorry about that if I did. But he's saying here, I'm not going to take advantage of my position. I'm not going to abuse it. I'm not going to say, hey, because of the fact that I have this power, this authority, apostle, because I've started this church and this church, or because who my daddy was or who my granddaddy was or who I'm married to or who my children are, that I'm going to use some type of privileges that God has given me. I'm going to abuse those privileges. I don't got to spread the gospel because I do these other things. No. He says, I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder the gospel. I don't want to use anything that's going to abuse my authority. He says, I have privileges and I want to be used of God. And as he says that I abuse not my power in the gospel, we all have different influences. We all have different levels of leadership. We all have different people that look up to us. And I'm not going to abuse those privileges just so that way I can get my way. No, this is about furthering the gospel. This I do for the gospel's sake. This I do for the gospel's sake, as it says down in verse number 23. And I'm not going to live a life that's going to hinder the gospel. I'm not going to glory in myself. I'm going to do it with a willing heart. I'm not going to take the privileges and positions I have to use it as a way, an excuse to not be able to present the gospel. Next thing is, I will remember that I'm a servant. Look what it says in verse 19. I will remember that I'm a servant. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. So what he means servant and free? Well, here, Paul is a Roman citizen. He's free. He's free from all men. He's not a slave. He's not under the bondage of the Roman government. He's actually a Roman citizen. And he says that even though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. You know what he does? He says, I'll remember that I'm a servant. I remember. This is something I'm remembering. I'm not serving myself. I am not my own God. I am not my own Lord. I am not my own Savior. I am a servant of God. So, this I do for the gospel's sake. I'm going to remember something that God's called me. I'm a servant of his. The next thing I want you to see in the last couple points are the ones we're going to focus a little bit more on. Verses 20 through 23. I will do all that I can to reach all that I can. Think about what it says in verses 20 through 23. Unto the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So I see this, and you see the different groups and different lists of the people. It's referring to Jews in 20 and talking about those under the law, those not under the law, those that are weak and those that are strong, and all the different things. What is he saying here? He's saying, I'm willing to reach out to all that I can. I will do all I can to reach all that I can. He was willing to put himself in situations and spots that would be uncommon and uncomfortable for many of us. He was willing to go to all types of people's group, from to the barbarians to the kings. He was willing to go to the people in Asia and then the people in Europe. He was willing to become whatever needed to be. Now, this does not mean he became a sinner. You think about it, Jesus was known for being what? A friend of sinners. Does that mean that Jesus had to sin to become that? Of course not. He was known for one that was a friend to the sinners. He would eat with them. He would do whatever he could to reach them. But he died as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God that we learned about a few weeks ago in Easter. He became whatever. And it's sort of like we got to understand that there are people out there and there's times and days that we come across that I need to reach every individual, even the ones I don't feel comfortable with, even those that might look different to me, that might have a different skin color, that might have a different position in the community, that might have different thoughts and might even have different beliefs. I need to reach. And that's what Paul's saying here, is that I do for the sake of the gospel. And if we're truly going to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way it's going to happen is when we learn not to live a life that's causing hindrance. And it makes it sad, but there are people out there that do things that are hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your testimony to others, your testimony around others. I I was listening to someone, and we were talking yesterday, and I was talking about an issue that someone had with something at our church. It's not a big deal, but they got a bad idea of something at our church, and the individual told me, he says, that's just sad because of the fact that we can't reach them. We can't witness them. The saddest thing wasn't the fact that he had created something in his mind that we felt like we said or we did that was so horrible. It's the fact that at that point in time, now we're going to have trouble reaching that person because that's what our heart's desire is. And the hindrance, what is those things? Are we living a life that's hindrance? By our actions, the things we live, is it stop somebody from becoming the cause of Christ? Is it going to look at that and say, I'm not going to become a Christian because that person acts up? I understand we all are held accountable for ourselves, but we don't want to be a hindrance to someone. We're not going to, he's saying, for the gospel's sake, I'm not going to glory in myself. For the gospel's sake, I'm going to keep a willing heart. For the gospel's sake, I'm not going to abuse the privileges I have. For the gospel's sake, I'm going to be a servant. For the gospel's sake, I'm going to do all I can to reach all that I can. And that means us understanding and going outside of our comfort zones to reach people that, yes, may be religious or those who don't have any type of religion. John chapter 3 and John chapter 4 is famous in the fact that Nicodemus, that religious man, came to know Christ or at least heard the truth. He came to know Christ maybe at a later date. And then you have the woman of Samaria that had no religion and the way that she lived a wicked life and how they're put right next to each other in the Bible. Jesus had no problem talking to the religious person and saying, you must be born again. But see how he approaches this lady that was from Samaria. It wasn't the fact that he didn't talk to her. He gave the same gospel, what he presented in a way was something that was effective for her. And sometimes we think that it's just going to be one thing and it works with one person. No, that's why we need to be Spirit-led. There are some people who might understand a little bit about the Bible. You must go and teach them different things and show someone that is maybe a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon where their errors are beliefs are at, but then you get somebody over here that does not know God, does not know who Jesus Christ is, how are you going to reach them? It's sort of like going to the book of Acts when he's up there on Mars Hill. What does he do? He begins with creation and he begins teaching and saying, hey, look, I'm explaining it to a group of people who do not know who God is. Over here, he's talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, he knows all about the God. He knows all about the law. He knows all about this and all about that. We got to learn to let the Holy Spirit of God be willing to be. We have to be willing to let him make us what he needs to make us in order to reach other people. We got to be willing to do all we can to reach all that we can. This last point is probably where we're going to focus the most on. Is I will focus on running the race God has put before me and keep my body under his control. Look what it says in verses 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. So he's saying here in verses 24 through 27, he understands that he's involved in a race. He understands he has a purpose and that God's given us a race to run. Hebrews 12:1 puts it this way, wherefore, seeing also, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and a sin which so doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I love the picture here of the race is that God gives us a race to run. He gives each of us a different race to run. If we're believers, we're going to end up in heaven. And in this running, in this race, we're all supposed to be trying to reach people with Christ. Some of us, he's made us men, and some of us, he's made women. You don't get to choose whether or not you're a man or a woman. You're made that way. You're born that way. And then, but at the same time, some of us have certain abilities. Some of us have certain talents. And he says, the race that's before us. And as he's saying, he said, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Too many times people are trying to get in somebody else's race. So many times people are trying to hinder one another. No, get in your race. See what God's given you to do. love what God's given you to do, have a willing heart to do what God's given you to do, and say, look, I'm not going to do anything over here to hinder this person in their race. I'm not going to try to trip them up. I'm not going to try to do something to slow them down. That's their race. Let them deal with their race. I'm going to take the sin which so doth easily beset me. I'm going to take those sins and set them aside. I'm going to take away the sins and those other things that weigh me down, the weights, and I'm going to run this race. And that's what Paul is saying here. He has a desire because he wants to keep his body under subjection. And it says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery, which means that they're striving to win the race, is temperate in all things, meaning that they have caused themselves to have great self-control in order that, why? So that way they may receive a prize. Yes. And that's what he says, not they that do it to obtain the corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. What he's saying, there are a lot of people out there that have great self-control in order to accomplish a certain thing, but those things are not going to last forever. But we keep our bodies under self-control to be able to lay up treasures that will last forever. Yeah, I see sometimes people, they work, you go and you see some athletes today. I tell you, these athletes are spectacular sometimes with the things they can do. They're breaking records right and left. They get bigger, they get stronger, and they will give years of their life just to have an Olympic gold medal, or to raise a Lombardi trophy. All that stuff is wonderful and great, and you can enjoy that, but that's stuff that's going to pass away. Those are things that when they're willing to discipline their lives and their bodies for things that are just not going to last. And everybody who has done, you know, there's one gold medal race, but can you imagine the hundreds of thousands of people who've tried to become that one person for that 1 year? They've given themselves, they've been self-controlled, they've done all these things for a medal, they've done all these things for a trophy, they've done all these things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with playing some sports in the right way, in the right mindset, but at the same time, they have so much self-control for the things of this world, and he's saying, I'm going to keep my body, and I'm going to be self-controlled, so that way I'm doing this for the gospel's sake. I'm doing this so that way I can reach more people with Jesus Christ. I'm doing this so that way I can see God work. And we come to this moment and understand that he said, I don't want to be a hindrance. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm not wasting my time doing things with uncertainty. He says, no. And he says, I know what God's called me to do. I'm focused on what God's called me to do. I want to win people for Christ. I want to spread the gospel. And that's what he says, that I do for the gospel's sake. You know, the Bible talks about being temperate and talks about even being a fruit of the Spirit. Because in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He says, I must make sure that I'm living for him. I'm denying myself and living for God because I have a purpose for my life. My purpose is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. There is a person, there's once again, one or two people in this world. There's people that are on the path to heaven and people that are on the path to hell. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when I was reading through this chapter, it just, Paul has a heart to win people to Christ. He has a heart to spread the gospel. You say, Pastor, that's Paul. That works for Paul. Yes, but God's called all of us to reach out to others. We should have an interest and desire to see people saved. And as I'm reading through this chapter, I see Paul saying, look, I don't want to do anything that's going to cause a hindrance. I don't want to do anything that's going to bring glory to myself. I'd rather die than have somebody make my glorying void, or my boasting, or my preaching void. He says, I got plenty of privileges. I got plenty of people that look up to me. I got plenty of people that listen to me. He says, I'm not going to take those privileges and abuse those. I'm going to use every method I have and every resource I have to spread the gospel. I will not, I'll remember that I'm nothing more than a servant. I will remember to have a willing heart. I will remember to reach all that I can. I remember to do all that I can to reach all that I can. And then he says, look, I'm going to focus here. I'm going to focus on bringing my body under subjection. I'm going to focus on myself. I'm going to focus that I need to make sure I'm doing what God's called me to do. He's told me to say no over here to certain things. He's told me not to do certain things. Instead, he's called me to do other things. And I'm going to bring my body under subjection. Not to where it win a gold medal or a trophy. And I played all those sports. I did all those things. And like I said, but those things are things that last. No, they don't last. They're gone. I mean, you get to a point when you get trophies, what do you do with them when you get older? It's like sooner or later you throw them away, right? I know some people keep theirs and they got their trophy cases or are sitting up in the attic. I don't know where my old trophies are, but they're probably boxed up somewhere or they've been taken to the thrift store or something like that. That my wife won't let me put them out in the mantle. So, of course, we don't have a mantle anymore. But it's because they're things that don't last. Gospel of Jesus Christ, changing a person's life. There's nothing greater you can do with your life. Further the gospel. Further the gospel. What is it that you're doing to help further the gospel? So you say, Pastor, that's great for the Apostle Paul. How do I apply that to my life? Let's ask God to give us this burden. I know us. I know some people in this church have a great desire to see people saved and they further the gospel with their actions. I hear it because I hear them talk about it. I hear it because I've seen them do it. But I know there's a majority that might, they would like to be able to share the gospel more. Maybe they don't understand how. And maybe there's certain things that are stopping them. But the message for today was, are we furthering the gospel? In the last week, have we done something to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? The last month, have we told someone? Have we left a track? And that's where it can begin. You take some tracks and you hand it out to somebody, or you can leave it somewhere. I've seen times people leave stuff. You know, it's the beginning of it, to reach the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, I've done it to all types of people, not just the people I'm comfortable with, not just the people that makes it easy and convenient. He says, I became this to reach this person. I became this to reach that person. What is it that we're doing to reach the gospel, reach people with the gospel? If we're truly going to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must learn to get rid of the hindrances. Think the request and the prayer should be, number one, Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance to the cause of Christ. Is there anything in my life, and be open and honest, is there anything in my life that is a hindrance to the cause of Christ? Is there anything in my life that's a hindrance to the furtherance of the gospel? If so, show it to me and get it out of there. Lord, help me understand I'm a servant. Help me to understand I'm a willing servant. Help me to understand I'm not going to use my privileges to be, abuse my privileges, not to be used of God. Help me to reach all that I can with what I have. And I know that means across the world, yes, but also means across the street. Also means in the outlying areas of our community today. Paul says, this I do for the gospel's sake. Yes, his life was wrapped up in knowing people to get saved. And whose life also was wrapped up in seeking to save that which was lost? Jesus Christ. Paul couldn't save anybody. Jesus came and gave an example. Is our lives, I'm not even saying is it all wrapped up, but is our lives even considering the fact that there's people lost and in need of a Savior? Today, this I do for the gospel's sake. What would you say you do for the gospel's sake? I read my Bible, pray, and make sure I'm clean, I'm ready for the Lord, make sure I'm not a hindrance, make sure I'm not doing something that's going to cause somebody else not to reach or another servant to trip up and to mess up their race. I'm going to make sure that I have a willing heart and realize I'm a servant of God, reaching all that I can with all that I have and keeping myself right with God, self-controlled, so that way I can run my ways. Let's pray.